All right, many of you may not know this man standing next to me, and what I just said of that we're just part of a story that was, I believe, written. It was crafted in the heart of God a long time ago, and many, many years ago now, God imparted the dream into the hearts of two men, and one of those men is Mr. Mike Jeffs. And Mike Jeffs is going to walk us through the first part of the morning, because heaps of us here don't know the story, and I want you to tune in, because when I began preparing for this, and you can probably hear my heart's full, but I was reading Judges, and in Judges chapter 2, there's this horrible warning, and it really is, it's a statement, but it's the deepest warning to me. It said this: then grew up a generation who neither knew God nor the things that he had done. And it's so important. And it says, because they neither knew God nor the story of the things he had done, they began to get very impressed by the things around them, by the world around them, and they missed the entire point of why they were called as a nation. Listen, I don't mind whether you walked in and decided you're a part of Good Life this morning, or you did it 26 plus years ago. You've got to find that story is so woven into the fabric of who you are that you know you're a part of this. And whether it's for a short part or a long part, but you got to hear the story. And so there was no one better to story tell it than Mike Jeffs.
Thanks, Tim. I think Tim's a bit emotional today. But that's good. It's just great. I just said this is the biggest church service I've seen in a Good Life. And you know what? We are only 25 to 30% of the Good Life community that's in this room today. That's all it is. So that's an amazing miracle in itself. But he just asked me to share the story where it began. And it began in the heart of my business partner back then and good friend Doug Drennan, who returned from America after doing Bible College and Fuller University in California. And he came back with a burning passion in his heart to really impact our nation and advance the purposes of God. And he felt he could do that in three key areas. And those areas were evangelism, training and teaching, and through church. And one of his lecturers in Fuller was Wagner, and Wagner's very famous if you don't know who he is. And he had a conversation with Wagner in Fuller, and Wagner said, if you plant a church, you'll do all three. And that was the very beginning seeds of Good Life back then. And he returned from Fuller, and we had many conversations and discussions over that time, because we were two businessmen. We weren't pastors. We were not cut out for this sort of thing. So that in itself is a miracle. But in 1998, three families got together and had the first service in Doug and Marty's lounge room, which started off Good Life. And those three families are pretty much still connected today. One family's the Venters, and Ernie and his family actually built this building. He laid the foundations physically for this building. And the Jeffs and the Drennans obviously laid the spiritual foundation for this vision and for this congregation. But I thought, when Tim asked me to share it, what's the best way of sharing this history and the story of Good Life and how it all began? And I thought the best way of doing that is just sharing with you some of the miracles that took place in those first few, many, or 26, 27 years now, but over the years. Let's begin with a miracle. And the first miracle is this. That Doug had this land, he'd bought this land 30-odd years ago. He tried to sell it three times. And on the third time, it actually went to contract. And at the time, I remember we had some quite serious discussions back then. I said, we shouldn't be selling this land. And, no, we've got to sell it. We can use the money to do other stuff, you know. So anyway, it went to contract, and it was a three-month, six-month contract. And right in the end, the people ended up pulling out of that and taking us to court. Can you believe that? I don't know how that works, but that's what happened. And so to me, it was a miracle that the land remained set apart for God's purposes. So that was the first miracle, the land. And the second miracle was the vision. because we wanted to establish a vision of a, not so much as a church, but a community. That church is just part of the package, if you know what I mean. So if you look at the amount of asset that's tied up around Australia in church buildings, it's only used on weekends, that's a lot of money tied up. But if you look at an asset that can be used every day of the week, and you have literally thousands of people coming through, and what we're talking about here is only 25% of that, 30% of that, those people, we have a community here that is called Good Life. And they don't all turn up on a Sunday morning, but they turn up here during the week. And that's pretty precious. That's pretty special. So I guess the term we used back then was to be a church for the unchurched. That was the best way of saying it. And that sort of created the DNA and the culture for what we're about. And we wanted to build a foundation spiritually on three values: love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And for those in the early days that were still around back then, there's probably about 50 or 100 of us still around, you'd remember that spiritual foundation we laid. And then the next miracle was the growth in the people who believed in the vision of reaching our community, reaching our nation for Jesus Christ. And they slowly began to come. And that vision went into their spirit, into their hearts, and they began to believe that we could build a community centre. Because if you bear in mind, we're at this stage in lounge rooms. We went from a lounge room to the TAFE College down Mountain Creek. Went from Mountain Creek to Emmanuel Lutheran College for the congregation. Went from Emmanuel Lutheran College, as we started to grow, to Mountain Creek cafeteria hall, whatever it was. And it was during that time we laid the foundations for this building here. So that took us right through from 1988 to 2001 when we opened here. So there was a lot of shifting around, but the people began to grow. And when we had our very first Thanksgiving service, there was about the Good Life in terms of church numbers was about 250, 270 people. That was it. And so the next miracle I call is the miracle of faith and of generosity and giving. And so we determined that, okay, it's time to move forward. This is that late 1990s, and we had 250 people. They wanted to move forward. We had the land set apart here. And how do we best do that? How do we raise the money to build this building? And we thought, again, well, we've created a culture, a DNA, which is a little different from the typical church. And you could accept the model by having Tim's famous thermometer and trying to get people to commit to a figure. And we said, no, we won't do that. We'll just have a Thanksgiving service. Because if God's in this and the people of the hearts of people in that, they'll just give. But we did that in a very unusual way, because as leadership, and we call our eldership executive, as the executive got together, we decided to empty out our bank account at the time. And at the time, it had $85,000 in it. And I said, let's give it away. Let's start with nothing. So can you see how the DNA and the culture began, even back then, in terms of spirit of generosity? And we gave that money away to Calvary, to Grace Church that burnt down. So we gave it away outside of any influence within our church. No one in our church family got any of that money. We gave it away. And on that note, what's that? This is probably our 15th Thanksgiving service. We decided as eldership and leadership again to do something a little different. So we're going to tithe whatever comes in today in our Thanksgiving service. We're going to tithe that back in to the new church plant that Doug's stepping out in and planting a church in Meriden Plains. So. So that spirit of generosity will continue. We won't empty our bank account this time, but we'll do something special and significant. I'm sure Doug and the congregation down there will appreciate it. I know their hearts are with us today as we're having this service. But we were just a small church at 250, 250, 270, and we had our very first Thanksgiving service. And the miracle was that after that first inaugural first Thanksgiving service, we added up the pledges and the gifts on that day, and it amounted to $1.2 million. Well, that was the miracle. Let's give God the glory for that. So that wasn't enough to build this. This cost about $1.82 million to finish, complete. But it got us started. And by the time we walked into this place for our first Sunday worship service, there was no debt, absolutely no debt. And I'll speak this out in faith. When we do our next extension next year, we begin, we'll walk into that debt-free. And the other miracle, I just love the way God does this. Because we work through the Australian Sports Foundation and we can give to them, because when you give money to church each week, it's not tax deductible. But the miracle is every time we give through for the building of a sports facility, it's tax deductible. So all that money you want to give, the government gives it back to us. So I reckon that's a miracle. And let me just finish. The miracle, what I call the model. And there's a passage in 1 Thessalonians that talks about the model of that church. And that church impacted the whole community. Their love for that community was spread abroad. And that's what I call the miracle of this model. And if you look over the history of church in Australia, even from the very beginnings of a white Australian nation, when the church was disconnected to the community. You know, the church was the authority. They didn't reach out and love to the people as they should have. And that's kind of been part of the Australian cultural DNA. And I think what we've tried to do here at Good Life is reverse that trend, is that we've connected church with community, and community has connected with church by virtue of this facility and what we've tried to do here. So that's an amazing miracle too, I see. And just finish by, you know, when you invert the word me, M-E, it becomes we. And I believe this church is not about the me. It's not about what we get out of this place coming to church on Sunday. It's about the we and how we touch our community and touch our nations. And I'll just finish with one little quote, which I happened to attend a function on Friday, and the world's greatest coach was there, Wayne Bennett. And he... Queenslander. And people are asking me these questions, and he said, how do you, something about success? And he said, success is all about, you achieve success when you gather great people around you who are focused and who believe in a dream. And I believe that's what Good Life's all about. Thank you.
Psalm 28. Praise be to the Lord. For he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield, and my heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. For the Lord is the strength of his people. When I listen to that story and the longevity and the growth, the Lord himself is the strength of his people. It is not what we do with our hands. It is not just our participation. My heart leaps for joy. He is our fortress of salvation. Oh God, save people, save your people, bless your inheritance. Be our shepherd and carry them forever. Carry us forward. Carry us into whatever you want to do, O Lord. And this morning I said, and I warned it over the months, that there's three opportunities that there's going to be to bring offerings. One is in gratitude for what God has done, for his faithfulness. From the beginning of planting a seed in a heart to what we sit in the midst of today, I am thankful for what God has done that we get to sit in the midst of. I grabbed Ryan's shoulder just before, and him and I walked together in stuff 14, then 12 years ago, and I looked at him and I said, did you ever imagine it in your wildest dreams, the things the Lord has done? And so if something in your heart says, you know what, I want to bring my offering now, do so. There's two more opportunities. See what God does in your heart. But it's not about, this is not a money beg. Hear me. Please trust my heart in this. This is a statement of gratitude. God, for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you will yet do. And we choose to partner with you in gratitude and expectancy. Let's stand. Let's sing together. If you want to participate, do so during this song.
Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat if you would.
I didn't mention before, and I should have, if you don't have these papers, only went one on every other seat, but there are more available. These are just an offering Thanksgiving form. They're available at the front here. But if you want what Mike just referenced, which was the whole tax-exempt status, there is a specific form that is available for that, and you can take that and lodge it or whatever. But if you'd let people know, listen, I want to move into that next phase. I want to focus on a thankfulness for what God is doing. That executive leadership team, our exec team, I'm going to ask you to stand in couples just so people can see you. So if you guys would around this place, and Jeff is here and Mac is not able to be here, but Jeff and Mac Bentley, Stephen and Ruth Jeffs, Tim and Donna Lovell, Andy and Jenny Timmer, and Mike and Viv. And I want to honor these team of leaders, I really do. That have walked this journey a long time. But we really began to pray and spend time asking God, what was the refining process for the future? And you've heard it plenty of times now, but we began to talk about the four spheres of influence, believing that God had called us to four specific things for the outworking of this vision. One was the unique vision and call that He's given us here, which is the center that we function in and through immediately. But then it was to have, through the footprint of this and the effect of people, being that transforming influence and those ambassadors of faith and Christ-likeness, was to see a footprint that extended into our region, from Caloundra to Noosa, into the hinterland and beyond. And people come to be a part of Good Life from all over the place. And beyond our region, to have a voice and influence in our nation. And in this book, and these are available, if you've never picked one up, please pick one up. You'll just get a great, a central view of what the heartbeat and vision of Good Life is and the function of it. But then beyond our borders and those areas into our world. And we have seen part of the original vision was to see an influence in the nations, beginning in the Pacific Rim and going beyond. And in the back of that book is just a little pictograph of the way that Good Life has influenced the nations of the world. But as I was sort of digging around for this, I began to just, you know, I found this little piece of paper and I've laminated it. And you won't be able to really see it except it's yellow. This was our original little advertisement for the gym classes. I found one of these. This is from when Good Life opened, and there were six classes available during the week. Six classes. Our flyer now. Four classes a week. We go from six. I just looked at that and I thought, how awesome is that? Like, it might not seem much, but all the way along there's these little dreams. We dreamed of a cafe and didn't know what it would look like, but our cafe now is like the hub of this center. We dreamt of, in that pool, having, you know, classes and swim school, and now we're over 1,200 people a week through that pool, and we cannot continue. You've heard that part of the story. We now have this place so busy that it's just exciting and draining all at the same time. But when we've reviewed this, and this will be review, there was a study that was done by the McCrindle Group, and the McCrindle Group looked at the way that the church had moved, social trends. We're going to go super quick through this. It went from 22% decrease in the Christian faith since 1976, 48% decrease in church attendance and a 269% statement of no religion. They did a survey of the areas of life, priority versus satisfaction. You can get a glimpse of that, and you see there's a great void, relational, physical, emotional, financial, then vocational, social, and then people saying basically more than satisfied spiritually, but it's because they don't get Jesus. They just think that they're full. Next one, please. We looked at the areas in this study that people said that they needed in their areas. Parklands, free car parks, community center, youth center, cafe, indoor sports facility, dog park, childcare, outdoor, and last of all, church. We are uniquely positioned to serve the needs of our community. Flip over that next slide, please. What we looked at was this Engle scale, and if you look at that quickly, moving people from antagonistic to others to committed to each other, knowing nothing of God, to devoted followers of Jesus, and seeing people transformed as they move through this. Next slide, please. There's five key areas. Moving people from distrust of Christians to trust of Christians, apathy to curiosity, closed to open, meandering or lost or wandering to actively seeking, moving from lost to saved. This is been the heartbeat of Good Life, and what I felt God spoke to me with these two verses when Donna and I were invited to lead this place. Let us not become weary in doing good. For in due season, we will reap a reward or reap a harvest if we do not quit, if we do not pull back, if we just keep going. Therefore, or because of this, as much as we have opportunity, let us do good. To who? To all. To open door all. But especially to the household of faith, or don't forget about the believers. And this is why we absolutely do not separate Good Life, the community, and Good Life, the church. This is Good Life. It is Good Life, journeying together, journeying with faith and journeying with people that are in transformational process, moving through any one of those five areas. This is the statement. People matter. People matter. And the more we've been wearing these shirts, I was in the post office on Thursday down at the plaza, and this lady looked at me and she saw my Good Life staff shirt and she goes, "Are you part of that Good Life where people matter?" And I just, I was just like, "Why do you say that?" She goes, "Because I see people wearing those shirts," and I asked someone, "What is that shirt for?" And they told her, it's the church that I go to. It's the Good Life Community Center. And she goes, "I want to be a part of that." Because if people really matter, people want to matter. And this is what I say, if people mattered enough to God to love and slay his own son for, they jolly well better matter to us. That's the bottom line to this. And we have to live like people matter. And so there, some of those areas in those spheres of influence, I'm going to just touch on these. These are just a snapshot. I'm going to ask Bindi, Hannah, if you guys would come. Bindi took over the just the running of and facilitating of the work of Lifehouse. Lifehouse is our benevolence house up on Golf Links Road that just opens its doors to the needs of people. And I'm going to hand to Bindi for just a couple of moments.
So there are a couple of crates out the front as you walk in, and they sometimes are overflowing. And what happens is that people who are in this facility right now and those who attend during the week might drop items of clothing, or I might get a call and say, "I've got a fridge that I'm not using anymore. Would you need it?" And then with those things, we are able to give them without charge to people who are in need, which is a huge deal, because I believe it's a way that every week I get to, just like Jesus did with Zacchaeus and the woman at the well, and say, "I see you. I know your name. You matter to me." So these two people here, actually, and we're missing one person, Hillary, who rang me up and said, "I have this pink couch and a matching dining table. would you need it? And I said, yes, I need it, but I don't have space for it. So she kindly stored it for me for 3 weeks until I had a driver that could transport it to someone who I didn't know who needed it yet. Then I get a call from Sharon from Lily House. And Lily House is a safe house where women who've been in difficult circumstances can come and rebuild their lives, learn how to be themselves again, the best they can be, and to be good mums. So Sharon rings me and says, I have this amazing girl called Hannah, and she is stepping out. She has a six-month-old, and she's getting a place of her own, and she has nothing. Can you help me? I say, yep, we can do that. So we set everything up, and I just want to say thank you for my 15 people who show up whenever they can, whether it's twice a week, once a month, my drivers, Joseph and my husband and the many others who volunteer. Thank you for being a tangible way to say, I see you, you matter.
Good morning. You'll have to forgive me if I stumble over my words a little bit. Public speaking isn't really my forte. But I really felt compelled to join Bindi today and come and say thank you and in my own words express what these community services have done for me. You know, it's such a blessing to be a part of a community who will pick me up. You know, I have the security of knowing now that, you know, I could lose everything in a house fire and I have a community that will take care of me, you know? To the lady who gave me the couches, what was her name?
Hillary.
You know, little does she know, she gave me a letter with these couches saying that she and her family had prayed over them for me. And, you know, I'd like her to somehow get the message that my sister and I, every Tuesday night, sit on those couches for Bible study, you know, so. I just think that it's, you know, I'm so privileged to be a part of this community and, you know, I might be a single mum and I might have to change the diapers in the middle of the night, but it, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, and I'm so happy to be a part of that village. So, thank you.
You're all threads in the story of lives. And when I was just, you know, chatting, Hannah, with you last week, and you said, look, I'm still on the journey. And this is the thing. We just want to be instruments of that love of God that is so real for you, Hannah, that He has known you your whole life and He has pursued you and He continues to pursue you, and it's just that you'd know Him. And what a privilege for us just to be part of that journey. I love the work of Lily House and so many of the other places on the coast that just we get to partner with. It's not about what happens in here alone in 1.5-hour gatherings. It is the overflow of that into the lives of people, and that's what we participate in. I'm going to plant a seed of a vision and faith. That house on the hill is nowhere near big enough for what Lifehouse needs to do. We need to build another facility for Lifehouse. I believe on this property, I believe that it needs to be way bigger than that, that we will again become a hub of hope. And so maybe next year's Thanksgiving, because this year we'll probably cover, I'm praying, the whole extension here. Next year we go Lifehouse and we go big. Because it's not just about us. It's about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light and hope advancing in this earth and seeing lives transformed. It is beautiful. Hannah, we love you. Honestly, humbled that we get to serve you. Thank you. Sharon, thank you. I'm going to invite another couple of girls and a young man, Rhiannon, Tamsin, Trent. One of the other things we've talked about, and listen, all of these are just snapshots. You know, it's like, I wish we could do everything, but I want you to just get a glimpse. One of the other areas we talk about is having an influence in areas that affect people. One of those areas is arts and culture. We are so privileged with the level of talent that there is in Good Life, whether it be in art, whether it be in drawing or painting, or whether it be in film production. Some of the things that are happening and have happened this year, heritage films, Rod Hopping, musicians that are going out and playing, what's happened in our own creative community. And I'm a big believer in the arts and the effectiveness of the arts. And for too long, we've distanced ourselves. The church has from that. And so I try whenever I can, if some of our Good Life family have a gig, Donna and I are there. Like, doesn't matter where it is, we just want to say, hey, look, we love you, we stand with you, we're here with you. And we've seen the influence of our lives doing that over the years and people we've got to walk with. But we were in a little coffee shop bar in Nambour, and Tamsin, you would know, is part of so often the leading here, and Rhiannon's part of the creative community here, and Trent Kruger's been around here for a while, and he also, with Jordan, plays in Sky Pilot, which are not just traveling locally or nationally, but globally. And these are just influences and voices, and in the middle of this little gig in the bar in Nambour, where these guys are doing covers and Fleetwood Mac and beautiful songs, they just sung this song called The Mountain Song. And so I sat there in this little bar listening to the words of this song. Something just rose up in my heart and I went, this is the voice of hope. And this is why we need to be culture shapers and culture changers. And so I want you to listen to the words and welcome these guys who play under the name Tusk. And if you ever see them play, get out there. Of a God who transforms, and the courage of every one of these that have said, I want my story to be known. This is Jesus in our midst. This is the love of God. This is grace. This is transformation. Let's go ahead and grab a seat for a second. There are so many stories to be told. There are so many stories to be told. We could have gone on and on and on, but I feel like we are on the threshold of what we have prayed for years and years. This is not religion, this is transformation. This is what we want to be a part of. So many of that crowd were part of it, the Sunday night gathering, which, funnily enough, when I'd said what the Sunday night gathering was going to be about, and it was going to be about simple and honest praise and worship and the teaching of God's word, We had people that told me, you are out of touch, that that's not what this generation needs, that we need to do something big and loud. And I said, you know what, I trust the power of God's word to change lives. We started with 20 people in a little circle of chairs and a couple of honest people like Andrew. Mary, Andrew, would you stand? Andrew was just one of our honest, faithful teachers in the early years, and here we are years later with hundreds and hundreds of mainly young adults on a Sunday night honestly seeking God. And we're seeing across Good Life stories of life, of transformation. I was reading Ezekiel, and there's this little vision of a trickle that begins, but it ends in a mighty flood. And I believe that we are seeing the trickle, and I believe with my whole heart that we're going to see the flood. I long for the day that I see people taking a hold of one another's sleeves, going, come, let's go to the presence of the Lord. And I don't care if it's a Good Life or one of the other great churches on the coast. I want to see the kingdom of God advance. But we will play our part until we've got no more part to play, and I promise you that. But if you want us a part of your gratitude for what God is doing, Craig's just going to lead us in a song. And if you feel like this is a point that you want to say, God, I want to thank you and I want to be a part of what you're doing, and you want to be a part of that offering, come during this song. And then I'm going to close after this with just a couple of things of what we believe God is yet to do. But let's enter into this with all thankfulness. For God is the writer of every transformed story. Glory to His name. Father, I just want to thank you for all that you've done, for all that you are doing. Lord, for that thread of hope that is being so intricately but beautifully woven, that is a revelation, Jesus, of your love and your grace, your sacrifice, and of truth. And God, we expectantly ask that you would continue to go ahead of us in everything. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd be seated, this will walk us through an expectation of what God is yet to do. I will move quickly, but this year has been a huge milestone. It has been a huge milestone for Donna and I when we walked into a mystery over 11 years ago now. And we had no idea, except God told us to step out of what we were involved in and that He would lead us. We arrived at Good Life not knowing what it was or why we were here. But we have now had the privilege of leading this community for some 10 years. I am so thankful for the faith of an executive team here that God had been doing a refining work in the story of Good Life, and to then take the risk that maybe God did have us here for a purpose. And we're going away for just a little bit for long service leave, but listen to me. I am so committed before the Lord to be preparing my heart for what lies ahead, because I believe that the best is yet to come, and we're going to have to gird up, and we're going to have to be prayed up, and we're going to have to be expectant, because there is great to come. I believe it with my whole heart. There is no place that I would rather be. Like sometimes people say, oh, you're going to come back. Listen to me. There is no place I would rather be. There's no place I could imagine being than in the midst of what God is doing. It's so wonderful. And so I'm telling you, Next year, I'm expecting in God's Word again. We've been deliberate about reading God's Word and applying it. Next year, we have produced journals like this that will be a year's worth of Bible reading and application. We have just simply called it the story, to us, in us, and through us. I believe God wholeheartedly, he says it in Romans 1, in everything I've created, I've declared myself so that you're without excuse for not knowing me. God wants to reveal himself to us, but that's not enough. He wants to reveal himself in us. This year, we looked at Romans chapter 8, that God's purpose is to conform us to the likeness of Christ, and then 2 Corinthians 5, make us his ambassadors. God wants to reveal himself in us, and God wants to conform us to the likeness of his Son, that he will show himself through us. And so next year, it will be the story going through the Bible, if we flip onto that next slide. Going through the story of the Bible, reading the main sort of, you'll see this thread written through the whole Bible. And then we'll be journaling, so the story in journal. And you'll see all this when you get your journals. And then lastly, each day has three questions of application. What does this reading mean? What does it reveal of God to me? What does God want to do in me? What does God want to do through me? Can you imagine that if we have a couple of thousand people on the coast going, God, what do you want to do in me and through me? Can you imagine? Like that's this explosive potential of life. And so January 4th, we thought we'd start on a Monday and you'll get 6 days of reading. And then the seventh day, there's a space for notes on the sermon or to catch up on reading or reflections or whatever you want to do. And we'll give them to one another to grade them. No, we won't do that. We'll just keep going through this, through the whole year. But again, I'm excited. And then lastly, I'm thankful for what God's going to do, I believe, with this building that we've been talking about. Here's some good news. The end of last week, the development application went ahead. It went in. We're praying for and believing on a response on that by Christmas. But if you can flip over onto this development plan. So this is what we believe God has called us to do. This is where those, if you want to participate in this, if as business people, some of you want to participate in this. This is where that tax deductibility may be something that you want to pick up and apply to what you're doing. But listen, this, please, it's not just about money, but it takes money, but it's the vision of what God has done that we have been grafted into. It is what he's doing in our midst and those threads of transformation that can only expand. And this, to me, is just a facility that facilitates stories of transformation. And that's what I pray we'll continue to take a hold of. So, Craig, if you would come. This is gonna close us up for the day. I didn't want to sit here. I knew it would be hot. But I felt like this was so, so vital to go through. Would you say with me that the Lord has been good? He's been good. Would you say that the Lord's been faithful? He's been faithful. Are we expectant that God will continue to be good and continue to be faithful and continue to lead us? Yeah. We got to be expectant. And so let's give him thanks. The last song I've asked Craig to do is a song that he wrote most recently. And it really is just this, it's a prayer that just says, it's an invitation. Jesus, come just as you are in our midst. Have your way in us. Have your way through us. But there's two songs we'll do together and we'll just close with that last one. And if you want to in this one, if you feel like you came wanting to participate in that building project, in what's ahead of us, come. put your papers in, put your forms in, put money down, whatever, but do it as you come. Do it in faith and in expectation, truly, before God, as you put it there. God, I'm doing it in faith. I'm doing it in expectation. I'm praying we break ground by March next year. Have it wrapped up by the end of next year. Wouldn't that be good? That'd be awesome. Then we'll have a Thanksgiving service around the pool. All jump in together. All right. Bless you. I'll close in prayer, but let's sing these two songs together and thank God for all that He is yet to do. Amen. It's a prayer of our hearts and our expectation of God. You know, as we go from this place today, just be mindful of one another. We're probably close on 1,000 of us here, which is just so, so exciting. And food will be served. There's kebabs and salad and sausages and drinks. And there's the jumping castle thing set up in the pit, and the pool's going to be open for those who want to swim or be baptized. We can do that there too. But I'm so grateful that we are all of us standing in this room, part of this story. Let's walk it courageously and expectantly. We'll have a report on the Thanksgiving offering next week. We'll let everyone know what it is, where we're at, and what we're expecting. And those journals should arrive. We'll have them available through December to kick off 1st of January. Make sure you get yours. God bless you. See you soon.